This morning's responsive reading came from Proverbs chapter 17. And if you have a Bible and you would like to join us on considering some of the lines that we read just a few moments ago, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 17. And we're going to make a few passing comments on verses 17 to verse 28. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 17 to 28. Look at verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I think all of us, if we properly understand what's being said here, have had moments in our past, and probably maybe your most recent past, and in all likelihood, you're going to experience this probably in the days ahead. And that is the value of a friend and the value of a brother. Now, we all have friends. We've had friends in our days of school. Maybe you had friends when you were in college. Maybe if you went into the military, you made a whole bunch of friends, especially living in a dormitory. Or as you got older, maybe your spouse has now become your best friend. There are times and seasons when your own children can become your best friend, or you are in turn their best friend. So all of us know what it is to be a friend, okay? We know what it is to make friends. But the scripture says, a friend loveth at all times. And that's the difference between a real friend and a fair-weather friend. Okay, a fair-weather friend is someone who is your friend, but for a season. There may be a falling out, and that person parts ways, and you will never see them again. Then there are some people, they're going to be your friend as long as you're able and willing to give them something. And as soon as you turn off that spout, whether it's positive strokes, whether it's free meals, or whether it's cash, whatever, a place to sleep. Once you turn off that spigot, see how quick that friendship ends. I think one of the biggest realities of this idea, a friend loveth at all times. Think of two women or two guys. They just turned 18. They've graduated high school. Maybe now they're in college, or maybe they're going to go get a job in the same company, and they're going to go out and rent an apartment or rent a house. And everything at the beginning is like a honeymoon. They sign the lease. They decide who's going to pay for this and who's going to pay for that, 50-50 down the middle. And then lo and behold, something comes into that relationship where one of them simply leaves, leaving the other friend to absorb all of that money, all the bills, breaking a lease, probably paying the fine for having that lease broken. But see, a real friend loves, notice, not some of the time, all of the time. Even when one of your close friends is going through a rough patch, what do you do then? Do you drop them like a hot rock, like a hot potato? Or do you come alongside? And then the other part of that verse says, a brother is born for adversity. Now, we all know what a brother is. I didn't have any brothers or sisters, but I sure got a whole lot of brothers, 59 of them, when I went into boot camp. And there, you have to work as a team, my dear friend. We were not 60 individual islands doing what the drill instructor told us to do. We 60 guys had to merge into one flight, one, under the leadership and the guidance and the instruction of the drill instructor. Not 60 individual men, but one unit, one flight. So a brother could either be by blood or by marriage, or it could be, if you do Hebrew parallelism, let's kind of look at it that way. The friend of the first part of verse 17 answers to the brother of the other part. And when it says a friend loveth at all times, the second part of that verse defines what it means at all times. A brother is born for adversity, not just for the good times, not when the sun shines and the birds sing, but when the clouds hide the sun and there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. That is when you need someone very close that you can lean on their shoulder. And I'm sad to say, in the culture in which we live today, this type of person mentioned in verse 17 may be very hard to find, even within a church family. What else do we see here? Look at verse 20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. When we read this verse a few moments ago responsively, the first thought that entered into my mind was a politician. The joke is, how do you tell whether a politician is lying? His lips are moving. And verse 20 is very appropriate for what we see today, whether on the news, whether in the media, whether coming out of Hollywood, or even coming from behind a pulpit. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Then verses 29 is some biblical psychology. We hear a whole lot today about people going to see a psychiatrist, or you hear people tell you, well, right now I'm going to take some time and I'm going to find myself. I got to find myself. But when did you get lost? I got to go find myself. I got to go look into my inner man and somehow discover myself. Well, let's look at a little bit of biblical psychology. Let's take Sigmund Freud and let's throw him in the trash can. Look at verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I've been told that in the medical profession, they have discovered that when a person laughs, okay, there are certain chemicals automatically that is released in the brain that travels throughout the individual that has kind of a calm, soothing, healing effect on the body. Well, how did the writer of Proverbs know that? Well, basically here God is revealing it to him. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Now notice in Hebrew parallel, look at the opposite. But a broken spirit dryeth the bones. When somebody is really down and discouraged, that type of mindset begins to even have an effect on the body physically. And I think all of us, those of us that have been around the block several times, okay, you've been on planet Earth for a few decades, I think verses 22 you've experienced on more than one occasion. When someone breaks your heart, someone disappoints you, or you have a very drastic failure in your life, whatever, and you got that broken heart. A child does something that just simply shatters your world. A spouse leaves you, forsakes you, divorces you, drops you like a rock. It's crushing. So verse 22, beloved, is free medicine, free psychology from Scripture. Okay? Notice also verse 23. Once again, I thought of Washington, D.C. I thought of Congress. I thought of the Supreme Court, the Pentagon, local government. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. We call that a bribe. And just recently, in our own state here in Kansas, with the possibility of overriding some of our governor's vetoes against sound legislation, all it took was one individual from a political party. That one vote could have made a big difference in that veto, to override her veto. This individual was promised a certain position if they simply voted to keep the governor's veto. One vote, one bribe. Isn't that amazing? Yes. The perversion of justice and judgment. And then finally, verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And then notice the Hebrew parallelism. Notice how it gets expanded. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So there are times and seasons, beloved, that silence truly is golden. Sometimes it's better to hear what other people are saying and not even to drop a dime, not even a penny worth of your wisdom. Or if you're engaging in a hearty debate, maybe there's a time when you got to realize that any further speaking to the one to whom you're speaking is nothing but a waste of your time and a waste of theirs. Well, may the Lord choose in his wisdom and in his grace to bless his word. Amen.